If you ask me, why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me? Proudly I would say, I am a Muslim. If you ask her, why does she dress that way, all covered up in a world that gives it all away? Proudly she would say, I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray 5 times a day when so many others have strayed? Smiling, he would say, I am a Muslim. Din al-Islam, dini, wal-Azam, ghayru dini, Muhammad illi hadini.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God. Welcome to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Javad, hosting this program. And sitting in the studio along with me, Sheikh Javid, well, the dear guest speaker in this program, Islamic Laws. Welcome to the program, Sheikh Javid.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
The pleasure is ours. Stay tuned. We'll be back. We are going to be talking about the prayer rules according to the laws issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. But before that, let's take a listen to a short biography.
A little bit of background about Ayatollah Khamenei. He was born in 1939. When he began his Hawza studies, it took him 5.5 years to finish the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh. The standard time for studying the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh for an Iranian student that is not raised with the Arabic language is about 10 years. At the age of 18, he starts attending Bahthul Kharij. Bahthul Kharij, he starts it in Mashhad under Sayyid Hadi Milani. For 7 years straight, he was in Qom studying under Ayatollah Burujerdi, Imam Khomeini, the son of Ayatollah Ha'ari, who set up the Hawza in Qom, Sheikh Murtada Ha'ari, which was one of the top figures in Qom. Then he went back to Mashhad. For 4 years, he studied Kharij under Ayatollah Milani again. Speaking to some of those who knew Ayatollah Khamenei in Iran, when the issue of the ijtihad of Ayatollah Khamenei came up, they said, we testify that he was a mujtahid not now, but in 1337, that's in the Iranian calendar, 1337, that's the first year that he started his Bahthul Kharij. He was teaching also. He had classes, he was teaching makasas, some of the advanced classes in the Hawza, he was teaching that. 5 years before the actual movement started by Imam Khomeini, he was a mujtahid according to that testimony. And when the movement of Imam Khomeini began, he was part of it, he was politically active, but he also was involved with his studies, as we said. Up to 1347, he was actively participating in Bahthul Kharij of Ayatollah Milani in Mashhad. And after he became the supreme leader, a little while after that, because he was requested a lot to start Bahthul Kharij, he started Bahthul Kharij and he's teaching. One can very clearly testify that this man is no doubt one of the most just and adil scholars that would not, for any reason, for his children, for his family, for his personal benefit, for any party's benefit, for anything other than Allah, change his view and make a decision to go against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said because of something like that.
SubhanAllah.
Back to the program, Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio. With me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker. We are talking about the rules of prayer according to Ayatollah Khamenei's fatwas. And I'm going to ask you, Sheikh Javid, this question. An individual arrives at a mosque when the congregational prayer is in its second rakah. Due to his ignorance of the Islamic laws or rules, he does not perform the tashahud obligatory for him in the following rakah. Is his prayer correct or not?
Well, you know, we know that tashahud is obligatory, and the person joining the congregational prayer must perform the tashahud. He should not ignore it. Now, the prayer is correct in the case of ignorance, but he should, you know, as an obligatory precaution, perform the qada of the tashahud, because the tashahud cannot be skipped. You cannot, you know, overlook tashahud. It should be performed. Now, if you forgot, if you were, let's say, you did not know the Islamic rule and the Islamic law, the Islamic Sharia, and of course, so you just ignored it or skipped it, it doesn't mean that you should not do it again. Of course, the prayer is correct, but the qada of the tashahud has to be performed, and the individual also should perform the two prostrations, the two sajdas of sahw, or the sajda which becomes obligatory as a result of inadvertence or sahw.
Right.
For failing to perform tashahud, because that becomes obligatory when you forget, when you happen to forget tashahud, or let's say because of ignorance you did not perform tashahud, then not only do you have to, should you actually perform the qada of the tashahud, but you should also perform, you know, two sajda of sahw to make up for the mistake, you know. And Grand Ayatollah Khamenei says that it is an obligatory precaution that the person makes the qada of the forgotten tashahud before performing the two sajdas of sahw.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he should perform the qada first, and then he should perform two sajdas.
I see. Sheikh Javid, does one need to acquire the permission of the person behind him or whom one wants to pray? Can one perform or start his prayer behind a follower? In other words, a person who is himself being led in the prayer?
Of course, permission is not required. Nowhere is it stated in the risalas or in the manual of Islamic laws written by the religious authorities that it is necessary to perform to seek permission of the prayer leader or to seek permission of the follower behind whom he is going to stay, to stand. So permission is not required, because you are actually making a niyyah, okay? Mm-hmm. And you're not actually doing anything, any harm to that individual. You're not actually violating any of his rights. He's offering his own prayer and you are offering your prayer, but you are just making your niyyah that you will offer your prayer behind a person standing in front of you, or you are standing at a place which happens to be behind that individual, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So permission is not required. That is it.
I see. Okay. Thank you very much, Sheikh. Let's have a break, and then we'll be back continuing our discussion and elaboration of the jurisprudential laws according to Ayatollah Khamenei about prayer. Stay with us and don't go away.
La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar.
The followers of Ayatollah Khamenei can refer to leader.ir/en. In the section Religious Affairs, you can ask your question and receive the answer. In the library section, some of Ayatollah Khamenei's works of jurisprudence are available, including Practical Laws of Islam, Frequently Asked Questions, Comparative Fatwa, and Newly Asked Questions.
Back to the program, Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio. With me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker. Sheikh Javid, is it correct to perform one's Isha prayer behind one individual who is performing the Maghrib prayer? Or is it necessary to perform the Isha after one has performed the Maghrib, in fact, behind one single congregational prayer leader?
No, it's not necessary. The prayer leader might be offering his Maghrib prayer, and you can offer your Isha prayer, and it's not necessary that the person who is leading the congregational prayer is offering the same prayer that you are offering. Mm-hmm. So he can offer Maghrib prayer, and you can offer Isha prayer, and you can. It's just a matter of the niyyah. Mm-hmm. You need to form your intention to offer your prayer behind that person.
I see. Well, Sheikh Javid, do the prayers of the followers, in fact, become void when the imam or the leader of the congregational prayer is at a higher position than them, or even lower?
Okay, that's a good question. Of course, you know, the prayer leader cannot stand at a higher altitude, you know. Mm-hmm. It's not permissible. And of course, the prayer people cannot follow a prayer leader or an imam who is standing at a higher position than them. So their prayer will be valid. It's necessary to make sure that the place where the imam is standing is lower than their place where they are standing.
When you're talking about high or higher and lower, what altitude are we talking about?
Well, you have to
like
see.
Like in terms of metric system, would you just elaborate on it?
No, if from the common point of view, from the eye, in the eye of custom, if a place is considered to be higher, you know, than the place where the ma'amum or the people stand, then that is enough, you know. If you are seen to be standing at a higher level, at a higher position, then that's enough. It's not necessary to measure. Okay, you can just look at the floor or the ground, and if you see that the imam's place is higher than the ma'mum's place, you should fix the problem, you know. Otherwise you cannot.
Is it because of the same reason, Sheikh Javid, that the place where the leader of a congregational prayer is somehow dug in the ground?
It is permissible, of course. The imam can be in the floor and in the ground floor, and the ma'mum can be in the first floor,
yes,
or in the upper floor. There's no problem. I have seen many times, people, offering prayer in the second floor while the imam is in the first floor or in the ground floor.
Shouldn't be a kind of distance reserved or observed between the leader and the ma'mum and the followers?
The distance, of course, there are people standing behind the imam, immediately behind the imam. Okay, those people standing behind the imam will connect. The people in the higher floor, in the second floor, in the first floor.
How is it possible? Because there should be a staircase between the two, like the two groups of followers, like one on the same floor as the leader, and the one where actually the followers, in fact, stand at a higher place.
Well, the religious authorities have accepted this scenario and this, you know, kind of congregational prayer where the ma'mum is standing or are standing, and you could be right when it comes to connection, but the religious authorities give their fatwa based on the riwayat or on the evidence that they find in the Islamic sources.
I see. Another quick question. We don't have much time, Sheikh Javid. You know, a congregational prayer imam performs a tayammum in place of janaba ghusl,
yes,
due to an excuse. Is it sufficient for the purpose of performing congregational prayer?
You're right. You know, the imam is performing a tayammum, and of course the other people are, you know, they make wudu using water, and according to His Eminence Grand Ayatollah Khamenei, of course it's permissible to follow a person who has performed tayammum because of some excuse. Otherwise, you know, you are not you're not going to perform tayammum only when there is no excuse. Okay, you, because of some reasons which are acceptable to Sharia, you are performing tayammum, and tayammum is a purifying agent,
mm-hmm.
and it's sufficient. So therefore, it's permissible for you to follow an imam who has performed tayammum.
Thank you very much, Sheikh Javid, for your nice elaboration of these laws. And thank you, my dear audience, for listening to the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
رحمن رحيم منان كريم سلام عليم لا إله إلا هو غفار جميل وهاب لطيف تواب سميع بصير لا إله إلا هو وحيد قدير محيي مميت الظاهر والباطن لا إله إلا هو لا إله إلا